Welcome to Week 15 of All in the Saints. It's myself, Jake Seeley, with Bobby McMahon. As always, if you want to tweet us, at All in Kid for myself, at Hello on Bobby for Bobby. And as I mentioned, it's Week 15, so I'm assuming there's about half the people listening, Bobby, because I kind of noticed that on Twitter around this time of the season as I start seeing less questions. It's bittersweet. We still have to do the same amount of work, but I feel bad knowing that I'm not talking to the same amount of people anymore. There's a lot of people that are upset or depressed, and even though there's DFS to still get involved with, you just don't have that same level of excitement that you had maybe even 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's true, but the one thing I will say is the people that are still listening and still asking questions and reading all of our stuff and listening to you on the radio and stuff, they're so much more invested because now they're in the playoffs. So now they're like, this is my moment of truth here. I need to decide in my flex between these two players. You know, which is it going to be? Seasons on the line. So it's definitely a little bit more intense for those people that are remaining.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I'm looking at right now is the fact that I was getting questions on Monday morning on who to start week 15. Like, hey, can we get done with week 14 first? Like, let's hold it. I know you're excited, but at the same time, and that's, you know, to be truthful, I want to throw that, and that's what I was going to start the show with, is a good amount of, like, lessons to learn, things to do in the playoffs and that type of stuff is, just in general, you don't have to set your lineups on Monday. The only thing you ever have to set is if you have people going on Thursday night, and then even the other players in your lineup, you don't have to mess with them until Sunday morning. And I know some are like, oh, I might be traveling. Okay, then set it on Saturday. That's a different discussion altogether. But there's so many things that could happen like this. One of the frustrating things I have, like, I put my rankings out on the site on Wednesday morning, as you know, but I changed them a lot between Wednesday and Sunday because I'm putting them out there over my first guess of what's going to happen. And then Thursday practices, Friday practices, game changes, weather changes, situations. Like, there's so much going on that if you set your lineup on Monday, you're probably making a huge mistake if you just left it there until Sunday.
Yeah, there's way too much information that we just don't know. Even right now, we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon, and there's still so much we don't know for this weekend. So yeah, it's you gotta take a step back. Everyone's hopefully got a phone that can access the internet. If you don't, you can hopefully get to a public computer or something like that. Even if you're traveling, you should be able to find a way to get internet access or have someone check your lineup for you. Because, it's crucial time of year, and we need all the information before we make any type of lineup decisions.
Absolutely. Now, talking about some strategy for the playoffs and things like that, there's a couple topics here. There's actually a good amount to chew on. So the first one, let's just talk about people's teams in and of itself. The quote-unquote getting cute and trusting the people who got you here and sticking with that type of thing. There's always something to be said for, like, right now, when we'll talk about waiver pickups, somebody like Kenneth Farrell, Bilal Powell, and stuff like that. So those type of situations arise, and you might have to deal with, okay, well, I got here with Frank Gore, but Bilal Powell is going to get so many more touches and it's such a better matchup. That's understandable. What I'm talking about, and I think too many people try to do, is they're in the playoffs and they're like, oh, I've got to go big. I'm in the playoffs. You know, LeGarrette Blount is at Denver, and maybe I go with Justin Forsett because he got all those touches last week and he's going to take over the backfield. And, like, I think that's the mistake that people make is they start trying to shoot for these upside plays instead of trusting people who have been reliable all year long.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you see that a lot now because people are panicking. They're panicking about, you know, every little matchup and every little nuance of their lineup is getting, kind of run through with a fine tooth comb. And that's going to be, you know, the defense that maybe you didn't stream defenses all year. Maybe you just left your defense in regardless of the matchup all year. And now you're looking at it and you're saying, oh my God, my defense has a tough matchup. I have the Broncos. They're playing the Patriots defense or the Patriots offense. They're high powered. What do I do? Should I just drop them and pick up someone else? Or so it's a lot of questions. I am with you on, I want the people for the most part, I want, with some exceptions, I want the players who brought me there, even if the matchup is tough, there's a reason why I'm in the playoffs, and there's a reason why these players have been producing for me week in and week out. Now, if there's players that really haven't been producing for you, the big one that comes up for me is Allen Robinson, you know, guys like Todd Gurley, and Allen Robinson's just had a brutal stretch. But so someone like him, I get it if you want to bench him because he's playing like a wide receiver number three right now. He's boom or bust, and he's got a really tough matchup once again this week. So if you want to bench someone like that, no problem. You're not benching Mike Evans because he didn't have a great game last week for Robbie Anderson, who did. So
wait, no, you're not doing that?
I love Robbie Anderson. I think that was a great call. We talked about it last week. But yeah, I think you just got to, you know, stick with your studs.
As an aside, and we're going to stick on these strategy things, I do want to bring up Robbie Anderson real quick because he's not in anything for the show to talk about. But I am concerned this week, similar to Tajay Sharpe in the preseason. I think that somebody that came out of nowhere has a nice rapport with the backup quarterback. And if you watch the games, it's not only the fact that Bryce Petty has rapport with him, but at the same time, he's kind of taking what he's given. They're rolling coverage and doing everything to stop Brandon Marshall. I think Bryce Petty, he's not a great quarterback, but he's smart enough to know I'm not going to go to Brandon Marshall with two guys draped all over him. I'm just going to take what's given. And if defenses start to give him a little bit more respect, not even a ton, this is a lean-bodied, somebody that wasn't a highly drafted player. Wasn't he out of Temple, I think? So it's a wide receiver that is somebody that wasn't on the radar of anybody because he's lacking some talent. He's a nice wide receiver. He's not in the upper echelons of receivers. So I don't think I would roll him out there this week, even in a deeper league, just because I'm worried that we've now got to the point of two games in a row where now people know who he is defensively.
Yeah, exactly. I do think there'll be definitely some attention towards him. He's not coming from out of nowhere. He was a nice, sneaky play last week. I still think he's at least on the radar, but I think you're getting cute if you're benching, you know, someone that you typically regularly start as a top 20, top 25 option, and try and get him in your lineup. So don't overthink it.
And then talking about your roster in general, at this point of the season, we talked about it last week, you should have your handcuff running backs, you should have a backup quarterback, a backup tight end. If you've been streaming defenses, grab one of them. Heck, the Chargers face the Browns in week 16. Hint, hint, make sure you go grab them if you've been streaming. I've had the Kansas City Chiefs defense, so I'm not really worried about that. So you might be able to have some more freedom if you're in that type of situation. But at the same time, and I think this is an important thing that sometimes people don't pay attention to, and I think you – I would assume you do the same. You're smart, Bobby. You've been in this industry for years just like I have. But it's looking at the opponent you're facing this week and seeing what their team looks like. And so if the team that I'm facing this week specifically, you know, maybe he has Matthew Stafford, no backup quarterback, and maybe there's an option like Colin Kaepernick or – I'm trying to think of, like, another quarterback that might be floating out there, like – Joe Flacco even, or somebody in that range, like even a Carson Palmer, where he might go pick him up instead because Stafford has the finger injury and he's facing the Giants defense, which has been playing great. You block him, so you have a better chance of winning.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I was just looking at this with my brother-in-law this morning, actually, because his opponent has Rashad Jennings, who has a good matchup, but he's splitting carries with Paul Perkins, and Kenneth Farrow was on the waiver wire, and I said, you need to pick up Kenneth Farrow just in case Melvin Gordon's out, because this guy could scoop him up, plug him in his lineup, and he's a way better option to me than Rashad Jennings this weekend if Melvin Gordon's out of the lineup. So
exactly,
you got to do those kind of strategy moves. You definitely got to look at your opponent, see what his matchups look like, see if there's anything on the waiver wire that maybe matches up with a need of his, and really try and put some strategy behind it and pick up a couple players that he or she might be interested in.
Yeah, I am actually facing somebody who lost Melvin Gordon, and right now his two starting running backs are Theo Riddick and Chris Thompson, so I'm doing everything I can to make sure I try and get Kenneth Farrow. I will find out on waivers. He might still outbid me because he has more money left if he's paying attention. He better put his entire auction budget in to do it. You can't save anything at this point of the season. But that being said, I'm dropping Charles Sims for him because, you know, yes, Charles Sims would still be a better option than Chris Thompson, but at the same time, you know, Charles Sims or Kenneth Farrell, I'd rather him start Charles Sims against me than Kenneth Farrell. So that's the other part is for this strategy in this type of situation is not looking at the rosters, not building your bench in the proper way. More of an ethical question, which, again, I think you'll agree with. But just in case, you know, there are some people out there, and obviously there are people out there because these are the questions we're getting asked, is when it comes to doing these pickups, if you're out of the playoffs, picking up players at all. Do you agree that should be a rule that if you're out of the playoffs, waivers are done for you?
Yeah, unless the only way I would disagree is if it's a dynasty league and
you
want
a keeper league.
Right, exactly. Something like that where, yeah, I don't want to miss out on someone that could be on my bench next year just because I'm not in the playoffs. But outside of that, in seasonal formats, no way. You shouldn't be allowed to be making transactions at this point in the season. The only way I could maybe see it is if there's something on the line monetarily or pride-wise for you know, the bottom people who aren't in the playoffs.
Oh, that bracket still matters.
Yeah, like if that bracket matters for something, let's say. But for the most part, the most leagues I play in that are seasonal, I don't want anyone making transactions.
How do you like this one? This is what I did in one of my keeper leagues, and so far I have yet to have one person that not only hasn't said that they like it, but has not said that they love it, basically. So in my home keeper league, is because it's a keeper league, as we're talking about, you can pick up people. It's kind of an unwritten rule that don't pick up a defense, don't pick up a backup quarterback because you're not keeping them anyway. But, like, for a perfect example, it was last year. Somebody went to pick up Robert Griffin just in case he was going to sign for somewhere else. So technically you can pick up a backup quarterback. You see what I'm saying? So the rule that we implemented, because it's a keeper league, if you're out of the playoffs and you pick somebody up, you have to keep them.
Okay, I do like that. Yeah, that's a good point, because you're not basically doing it just to block someone who's in the playoffs or, you know, have a vendetta against someone. You would need to be invested in said player if you're picking them up on speculation. I like that.
Because it also eliminates, like I said, with the Robert Griffin. That was the reason we did it, is because the Robert Griffin situation last year is like, are you really doing that? Or are you really doing that just to, you know, block? And like, obviously, he wasn't playing last year, but somebody else, you know, that's the thought got brought up because of it, like to say, like, well, that person could argue and say that they were really doing it, and you know, what are you going to do? Then you're going to have his word versus your word, and it's kind of like, yeah, all right, fine, whatever. So yeah, we implemented that rule that if you pick them up, and if you're going to pick up a defense, guess what? You got to pay $10 and keep the defense next year.
Yeah, no, that's a good rule. That's definitely something. And think about these things, not now at this point when it could come up, but you know, as you start to build the league for next year, you should be thinking about all these things that happen late in the season. You know, write it down, whatever. Remember it so that you could bring it up at the draft or the league meeting or whatever it is when you're setting up for next year.
Yeah, and that's the big thing too, is so many people don't have rules that they thought about or thought about beforehand or in place, because I had somebody ask me that too, is, oh, we had a tie in one of the playoff games. What do we do? Well, first of all, you should have had a plan for that in the first place. And then second of all, I just told them, and I think this is a good because you might – I play on sites like My Fantasy League where they actually go to a second decimal place, and of the 4 years of the Flex Leagues, we've had one tie. It actually has happened, even with a second decimal, which is crazy to think about. But the rule is, well, then, you know, it's work for me, and unfortunately I have to do the work, but we just go to the next decimal place. Just go further down the line to work it out, because that breaks the tie. So – I mean, that seems like the only fair way to do it. I hate people who are like, well, we include bench points then. I'm like, no, that's dumb.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I definitely think you gotta keep going until you figure it out, points-wise.
And then as a side question, because we were talking about this on Fantasy Sports Radio Network today, and what happened was, so in the Flex Leagues, we've always had the rule that the playoffs reseed after the first round. So we do the three weeks. I know a lot of leagues still do two if you only have four teams that make the playoffs. But for the six teams, is we've always reseeded in the second round, just like the NFL does. So if the sixth seed happens to win, then you have to reseed to make up for it, to make sure that the sixth seed is facing the number one seed. So we did that. This is the first year we actually made the website and had the constitution, and that was one of the things that, you know, while we're doing all this work, we just happened to forget to include, like, oh, by the way, it reseeds. So we had this whole thing, and because the point was, is Corey and I were going to face each other, but now we're not because of the reseeding. And he's like, oh, you're ducking me, and, like, you changed the rule overnight. And like no, it's the way it's always been. Are you a fan of the reseeding, or do you like brackets where they just are how they were set up on the site and they stay that way?
I mean, I've traditionally, my leagues are all, you know, set up and whatever the way the bracket is, is the way it goes. But I don't hate the reseed, actually, because that's an interesting way to look at it, especially if there's obviously six teams or however many teams make the playoffs. If there's only four, it doesn't really matter. But
right. Well, the argument that that was made from the get-go is, I'm with you, is that kind of like, oh, I always kind of liked it, but I was never like, oh, yeah, we got to have it. But then David Ganos, who is part of the Flex Leagues, he put it this way, and I think this is a good way of looking at it. He said, you have to reseed, otherwise there's no real reward for finishing number one or number two.
True, right. I think that's a great point. That's what it's about, is those team. When you have six teams and two teams get a bye, then there's a reason they got a bye. And so that's a great point by a smart guy.
Yeah. Yep. And number one, number two doesn't matter unless you do, and that's kind of like that. You get that little extra edge. Real quick, before we move on, I just thought about this one as we're talking about it. I don't like it, but, you know, some people do. Do you like giving points to seeds? So basically
– No. Okay. No. Don't like that at all. I don't like that. I don't
the
like
free
home field
points, like home
advantage.
field advantage.
No, no, not at all. I think I feel strongly enough about it that I wouldn't play in a league like that.
I wouldn't either. But the funny thing is like even if it's 3 points, it doesn't make that big of a difference often. It would just be such
no,
a kick. And
it's
you
principle
know.
Though.
Yeah, it is, and it'd be so terrible if you lost by like 2 points because
exactly
it's...
that's the worst.
Because you had nothing to do with it. Look, we had enough misery last week of Melvin Gordon and Mike Evans and Matt Forte and all these and Devontae Freeman's. We had enough of that we don't need to add some few more points to it.
Exactly. There are already way too many variables. You can't be adding another one like that in.
Which, by the way, if you made it through last week, congratulations. Because
last week was a tough week unless you had a few players, obviously Le'Veon Bell. But unless you had those few, I mean, it was a low-scoring week. For the most part, there was only a few guys who really popped off and a lot of duds out there.
Yeah, and see, and that's the thing that I want to ask you this real quick too is, do you remember any? Because it was the week before as well. Week 13 was no pretty picture either. Do you ever remember back-to-back weeks right at the playoffs having this much basically craziness going on?
No, not this much action this late in the season. I mean, maybe earlier in the season you get a couple weeks like this, but usually, usually if you have an off week on your team, it usually balances out and some guys turn it around. And you have some big weeks. So that's what I'm hoping after 2 weeks of off week.
Can we get back to normal?
Players.
And that's the thing is to talk about the Saints real quick. So obviously the question is, do we trust Drew Brees? Because so the numbers here, by the way, it's the first time since 2009 that Drew Brees has gone in back-to-back games without throwing a touchdown. It's going to be – well, it would be, and I don't think it's going to happen. But the last time he went three consecutive games without a touchdown was 2003 when he happened to get hurt in that third game. So it wasn't even a complete game. Arizona just gave up three passing touchdowns to Ryan Tannehill. Drew Brees bounces back this week, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a tough matchup, but I mean, we saw what he did against Denver, who I think is a better defense overall than Arizona, and he had still hung 303 touchdowns on them. So, yeah, I'm thinking he's bouncing back in a big way this week.
Would he be inside your top 10, top 5, top
Oh, yeah, still inside my top 10. He's probably 5 or 6, I would say.
So, let me kind of run down the list here. Is Aaron Rodgers of Chicago, you probably start over him, right?
Yes.
How about if you got Kirk Cousins late home against Carolina?
No, I'll still take Brees. I just feel that confident in the player.
Matt Ryan.
See, my only concern with Matt Ryan is, like, what if they get up big and don't?
That's what I keep saying. I keep going back and forth on this. I'm like, Matt Ryan could walk in backwards into 300 yards and three touchdowns against the 49ers. But at the same time, I'm with you. I'm thinking, well, Julio Jones still has the toe issue. What if they're up? You know, 14-0 early in the game, they just start pounding the clock and pull Julio Jones out of the game.
Right, exactly. And they, you know, they didn't have to get aggressive last week either. You know,
he
obviously,
still went crazy though.
I was gonna say, obviously, he got the Gabriel touchdown that really helped. But yeah, I mean, he'd probably be in my top five just because the matchup is better. But I think you can make a case to still start Brees.
How about this one? Russell Wilson in a bounce back game at home, whose numbers are creeping towards Ben Roethlisberger of the home road splits.
Yeah, I can't not over Drew Brees. I mean, I like Russell Wilson. It's just been an off year, very up and down season. I think he's only had multiple touchdown passes in maybe three or four games tops. And I just don't like that. He didn't do well against the Rams. Last time out earlier this season and really historically against the Rams, he hasn't been that great outside of a couple performances that were pretty good. I mean, he just hasn't been, you know, the dominant Russell Wilson running around like crazy. And to me, that means that, you know, he's probably a back end top 10 quarterback this week.
How about Tom Brady at Denver?
So I already talked about Denver. Outside of Drew Brees' performance, it really hasn't been that good for any quarterback. I mean,
and
we've had
Tom
a couple...
Brady hasn't been that good against Denver in general.
No, exactly. And obviously this is the first time they're playing since AFC Championship last time out, and the Patriots only mustered 18 points in that one. So obviously different circumstances a little bit, but pretty much still the same defense. So again, Brady is a player that I'm not going to get cute and bench him unless I have a really good option. But Drew Brees is a better option to me this week.
All right, fair enough. How about Derek Carr and a bounce back at San Diego?
Yeah, it's a good spot, but again, I just with a guy like Breeze, I just have so much confidence in the ability, regardless of the matchup, I just don't know if I could take the risk of playing Derek Carr over him.
And then how about, I think that's Andrew Luck at Minnesota?
No way. That's a tough matchup too. That might be just as tough as Drew Brees' matchup.
So basically there's about like two, three quarterbacks that you might even think about.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think, you know, the Bradys of the world are right in that same conversation. Even Luck. I mean, it's a tough matchup, but Luck, you know, always seems to find his way to put up points when he's healthy. So but they're all on the same plane with him and a couple guys ahead of him. But I think that just speaks to how much confidence I have in his upside every week statistically.
All right, let's look at some of the other stuff for this week. Well, actually, let's stick with the Saints real quick. If Michael Thomas plays, you got to keep him in your lineup.
I do, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's going to depend on other options, but if he's healthy enough to go, hopefully that foot is less bothersome this weekend. It's still a tough matchup for him. He's probably going to see a lot of Patrick Peterson if he plays, but the way he's played, I mean, I don't think you can leave someone with his upside on your bench.
Would you rather play – let's do the same thing with Michael Thomas. Would you rather do Stephon Diggs or Michael Thomas?
Ooh, I'm going to take Stephon Diggs there.
DeSean Jackson or Michael Thomas?
Now we're getting into the range where that's something that's a real decision. I mean, both of them are going to be boom or bust. I would lean towards Thomas in that one.
All right. How about then the same team, Michael Thomas or Jameson Crowder?
PPR, I'll take Crowder. I'll take my chances with the
How
hype.
About this? You know, I'm going to throw one more wrinkle to it because that might get you to say standard for Jameson Crowder. So there are only – let me go back to it real quick. I'm going to find out to make sure I have the right number because there's running backs too. So there's only seven receivers that have more yards after the catch than Jameson Crowder, and the Panthers allow the third most yards after the catch to receivers this year.
Okay. Yeah, that's definitely a compelling case for Crowder. We obviously know that Jordan Reed, even though he gave it a go, still not 100% healthy, which is another favorable thing for Crowder. And he's coming off of a quiet week. So, yeah, I could definitely see that. That's kind of a coin flip for me in standard. In PPR, I think it's an easier decision. But standard, that's definitely a coin flip. And I think that might have pushed me, though. Well,
how about this? If you have Julio Jones, to go back to what we were talking about before, do you start him if he plays?
I do, yeah. I own Julio in a couple leagues, and if he's active, I'm going to play him. I do think it's a situation I you certainly could regret because, like we talked about, they could get up quickly on the 49ers and maybe not need him and start to rest him and only put him in spots. But even if he played limited snaps, you'd hope that the snaps that he does play, much like Ladarius Green, the snaps that he does play are going to – he's going to see passing targets.
Is he in that range with the wide receivers we were just talking about, Stephon Diggs, Jameson Crowder, Michael Thomas, or do you think he's higher than that? Or like, because some people might have fallen into, you know, if you drafted Julio Jones, you could have circled right back around and taken Demaryius Thomas and then picked up a Tyreek Hill and, I don't know, maybe got – a DeSean Jackson or a Tyrell Williams later in the draft. So there's a chance that you might have enough wide receivers where you could bench him, or does he need to be higher than some of those guys?
No, I don't think he does. I think it's fair to put him in that range. I certainly wouldn't put him up there in the top five or even top 10 because we know there's obviously an issue. I mean, he missed last week. They're saying now it's a toe sprain, not a turf toe, is what is being reported.
Yeah, I don't really know the difference.
Right. Me either. I don't know.
I think the turf toe is more of like when you stub it super bad is what it kind of sounds like. And then a sprain is actually just what a sprain is.
Mm. I mean, I'm very far from being a doctor, so I have no idea what that means. But yeah, I mean, I think he's in the wide receiver 2-3 range, and I think that's fair given the fact that he's not going to be 100%. I mean, if he's active and 75%, though, I mean, 60%, I still like my chances against most wide receiver threes.
By the way, I'm clicking on WebMD right now. So turf toe is a sprain. So what is that?
So it's semantics.
Yeah. So is it basically? Let's see. How is turf toe diagnosed? How is it treated? We know with rest. That's the point. Find out what the difference is. Can it be prevented? No, it can't be prevented. So, yeah, turf toe is a sprain to the ligaments around the big toe, which works as a hinge just behind blah, blah, blah. So then what's the difference between that and a sprain? You just That's yeah. part of the definition.
Who knows?
There you go. So you run your own risk. How about this one? AJ Green, if he plays, he's got to be in your lineup, right? Similar to Julio Jones?
Yeah, I mean, hamstring injuries are ones that I really don't like. Hamstring and groin injuries are tough, but yeah, I think if he's active again, I think he's in that range with Julio. He's not a wide receiver one, but he's a two or three.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think he's kind of in that same conversation. It's just tough for me to bench somebody of Julio Jones' talent or Julio Jones. Well, actually, yeah, Julio's yeah. or AJ Green's talent. If you're at this point, I'd have to be loaded at wide receiver. Actually, you know what? Let me throw out a deeper. Let's go deeper then. Would you start Sterling Shepard over either one of Julio or AJ Green?
Nope. No, I'd be comfortable benching a guy like Shepard, who's very touchdown reliant.
Okay, so that's kind of like how about Rishard Matthews bouncing back against the Chiefs?
By the way,
have given up the second most fantasy points to wide receivers. They pick off a lot of interceptions, but
yeah, it's ball hawking defense. But they are. It is a sneaky spot. I think I actually like Rashard there. I'd want a way to get both of them in my lineup, but I'll take the 100% healthy guy who obviously just didn't have a great matchup last week.
How about this one? A touchdown in three straight games, the number four wide receiver over those three games. Obviously, the touchdowns are going to help. But somebody, his quarterback, should throw for close to 300 and at least two touchdowns this week. And if he does, one of them is probably going to him, Dontrell Inman, or Julio Jones, or AJ Green.
That will be an interesting case. I mean, personally, I would still start my stud there, but Inman, with Travis Benjamin banged up, he's clearly not healthy. Tyrell Williams is dealing with the shoulder issue, the torn labrum that he's playing through. Inman's certainly, I would say, a high-end wide receiver three, but in this case, I would take my chances on Jones.
Yeah, I think so as well. That's very close in that conversation right there. Yeah, so, all right, some waiver wire pickups. Mostly I spent a lot of time on these type of things because there's just not a lot that you're going to get at this point of the season outside of blocking. Actually, talk about streaming quarterbacks real quick. I know people were expecting more or less. Well, actually, some people weren't, but I would still go back to Colin Kaepernick if, like, the Matthew Stafford situation. I know it's just a mediocre game, but before the game against the Bears, and I seem to have to remind people about this, even though it was just, what, 3 weeks ago, and then the 4 weeks before that consecutive, he ranked 8th, 5th, 8th, and 1st at quarterback in those 4 weeks. So I'm looking at the fact that it's Atlanta. Atlanta's defense is one of the worst. They give the most points to quarterbacks. They give up among the most points to running backs, and Colin Kaepernick can run plenty. And then they give up a lot of points to wide receivers. I'd rather start him than Matthew Stafford. Heck, I'll let you know right now in my rankings. So I have Colin Kaepernick. Behind him, I have Jameis Winston, Carson Palmer, Eli Manning, Roethlisberger, Flacco, Stafford, Smith.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I'd probably have Stafford a little bit higher, but obviously we've got a couple situations working against him. Obviously, the thumb injury, the way the Giants' defense has been playing is certainly scary. So it's a very tough matchup for Stafford, and he's one of those guys that you've probably rode for most of the year. He's had some tough matchups lately against some really good defenses, but yeah, this is another one. And Kaepernick, I think I said in one of my articles or something I did earlier this week, I said that he's the guy that could propel you into a fantasy championship if you are able to stomach you know, the possible disastrous outing of that happened. You know, last week actually came out looking good, and right. then they didn't need him. They got very, you know, very conservative, and it was the Carlos Hyde show. But yeah, Kaepernick, I think, is close to a top 10 start this week.
And that's why I like it, is that he's not going to be conservative this week. He's not going to be able to be the Carlos
right.
Hyde show.
Exactly.
So, and on top of that, so let me ask you this one, because the one right behind him, Jameis Winston, I think a lot of people are thinking, oh, you can pass on the Cowboys. But here's the thing is the Buccaneers run one of the slowest paced offenses in the league and try to work their defense, which has been doing really well lately. Guess what the Cowboys do? The exact same
yes.
thing. I am concerned about both offenses, not just at the quarterback position, just the players in general. I'm not benching Ezekiel Elliott, don't get me wrong, and I'm not benching Mike Evans. But when we start talking about Doug Martin with splitting carries, and maybe, you know, at this point of the season, if you actually made it this far, you probably have better options. So Doug Martin, Cole Beasley, Jason Witten, you know, the secondary, the tertiary wide receivers for the Bucs, which hopefully you're not using anyway, but especially the quarterbacks and Dak and Winston, I'm not expecting a lot going on in this game.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. I think that obviously that's the way Dallas likes to play. We saw it with the Giants. I mean, it was just you know, a back and forth game, but really it was a struggle on the offensive side for both teams. You know, Martin is a guy I think I'm on the fence with. I still kind of like him. I think it's a tough matchup actually. Cowboys have been pretty good against the run, but Martin scored in two straight. He's clearly still. I don't know if he's 100% healthy because he's averaging less than 3 yards a carry since he's gone back. Just really hasn't had a great game, but he's still getting a chunk of carries every week. So, that is tough to find. But I agree with you on those ancillary pieces. I mean, I think I'm definitely expecting a little bit of a bounce back from Dez. I like Ezekiel, obviously, and Evans. I even could start Cameron Brate at tight end. But I don't feel great about any of the other ancillary options.
Yeah, I think so as well. So some other quarterback options this week is somebody I like a little bit more than Colin Kaepernick, even though is Tyrod Taylor. He's not a high-volume passer. Actually, in my article, I said he's the antithesis of it. You know that he has fewer pass attempts than any other quarterback with 12 starts? And he's got 30 – he only has 33 more than Tom Brady, who has four less starts than him. However, he's facing the Browns. All but two quarterbacks have thrown at least two touchdowns against them. Seven have thrown three. Not that I think Tyrod Taylor is going to throw three touchdowns, but he's also averaging 36 yards rushing on the ground per game. That's almost a free touchdown. And if he can throw for two, he's going to end up in the top 10.
Yeah, I don't get why Tyrod doesn't get more love. He's got Watkins back. Obviously, LeSean McCoy is there and a great start, but yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what the situation is. I think he's close to a top 10 as well quarterback this week. He might even be inside the top 10 for me against Cleveland.
Yeah, I think so as well. And then elsewhere, if you have to go deeper, I kind of hope you don't, but you know, you never know at the position. Jameis Winston, I mentioned, is out there floating some leagues. We already talked about the fact I'm not a big fan of that. Super deep. Maybe Matt Barkley. I'm thinking more of a two quarterback or super flex league or something like that. But he is going against the Green Bay Packers at home, and I'm not worried about the weather there unless it gets torrential or severe or something like that, because he proved already against the San Francisco 49ers that he can handle the weather, and he even admitted it, that the difference that he made in that game is that he was pushing the ball more than throwing it. But anyway, at running back this week, we already talked, Bilal Powell is the obvious name. It's him and Kenneth Farrow. And I think between the two, it sounds like both Matt Forte and Melvin Gordon are likely out this week. I prefer Powell over Farrow. Do you agree?
I am with you on that one. Yeah, absolutely.
I think the biggest thing is we've seen Powell. We know Powell. We know he's getting touches. Kenneth Farrow, he was somebody who didn't go to the combine and tested his own pro day, and I know all the reports are, well, he would have ranked inside the top three, inside the top five for most of his metrics and stuff like that. But part of the concern that I have, and this is something the team has already mentioned, is that Ronnie Hillman might get some looks this week, because it's something that he was supposed to be good at was pass blocking. He's a very good pass catcher, but he struggled in last week's game, and Ronnie Hillman might steal some touches. On the other side of things, it looks like Bilal Powell is going to get like 80% of the running back snaps.
Yeah, exactly. I feel good about Powell as an RB2. I'm not expecting him to do what he did last week, but I certainly think over 100 total yards and a great shot at a touchdown is well within reason for him.
Let me ask you this then. So at running back, if Chris Ivory and Denard Robinson are out this week, TJ Yeldon leapfrog Farrell like he does for me, or does he even leapfrog Bilal Powell, or does he settle right in between?
He doesn't leapfrog Powell for sure. I would put Farrow ahead, I feel like, but the Hillman thing does concern me a little bit. He was inactive last week, so Hillman didn't even get a chance at carries. He didn't get a crack. So he will this week if Gordon's out. And so I still think there'll be some kind of timeshare there. So, but if Farrow can be that pass catcher, pass catching option, even a little bit, I think it's still lean towards him. But Yeldon could be a sneaky little play actually as an RB2 if no Ivory once again.
And then Ty Montgomery officially on NFL.com is a running back now. It's almost everywhere. Do you use him as a running back, or is he basically like a flex running back, or does he have any appeal to you?
He's a flex play, sure. I mean, obviously the touchdown last week helped him out. I think he's still a nice versatile weapon. I think in a passing offense that isn't going to run that much, I think he's the perfect kind of Swiss Army knife running back type that they could definitely use. So yeah, I think he's flex appeal. He's not quite RB2 for me yet.
At wide receiver, we talked about, oh, you know, we left one person out. Who's returning this week at wide receiver? Who's a wide receiver one?
Or Alshon.
Yes, Alshon Jeffrey. You've got to put him right back in your lineup, right?
Yes, I own Alshon in a few leagues. I am returning him right to my lineup. I am hoping for 10 to 15 targets from Matthew Barkley.
Do you think that he is a wide receiver one or... Well, let's see. I'll tell you where I ranked him, and you tell me if you would rank any of these guys behind him. So I put him at 20 just because of the risk. Like, just, I know he's coming back. I do expect a ton of targets, as you said, but are the targets going to be on target? Are they going to be, you know, just, and the fact is the other receivers on the team. So right in front of him in reverse order, I have Tyrell Williams, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, A.J. Green, Michael Crabtree, Larry Fitzgerald, Amari Cooper.
I would put him ahead of Hill, even though Hill's a freak, and probably Tyrell, just because he's a little banged up. I'd put him right on the same level with Watkins, and I'd actually probably feel
comfortable. AJ Green?
Yeah, I might feel better than.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I kind of feel like I might have copied and pasted wrong, because I kind of feel like I had Alshon ahead of AJ Green. I feel like they were reversed.
I could see that. That's I think a little more similar to me than I would feel. I think mid-range wide receiver too. I like Fitzgerald's matchup, especially if Michael Floyd is benched. I think you have to feel good about him. Obviously Cooper always like, and Crabtree has been really good all year. So I could see starting those guys ahead of him, but Alshon's definitely in the mix for top 15.
Yeah, I might have to flip this script over here. Flip the script, man. Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I go through. See, this is why you double check every single day.
That's why Jake's always updating his rankings
all the time. So, further down, just in case you need him, he's still floating out there. Malcolm Mitchell. What can you say at this point? 4 touchdowns in 4 games. I do think you're looking at the next 2 weeks. It's obviously a little bit tougher. We know the matchup this week is among, if not actually, it is the worst. It's the worst matchup you could possibly find. So, if he's still floating out there in your league, do you pick up Malcolm Mitchell and do you start him? Because for reference, because of this, and what he's done now, mind you, let me put two things out here. I ranked Malcolm Mitchell 26 last week at wide receiver. I have him at 40 this week against Denver.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair because of the matchup. He's still wide receiver 3. I mean, last week maybe you still had him as a high-end 3. And now he's more of a back end 3 on the cusp, maybe a flex play. And I think that's fair. I think the matchup is obviously debilitating, but, you know, we've got a lot of options for the Patriots if they're going to pass the ball. And maybe Mitchell can still get some work. He's clearly getting some looks in the red zone, which is very nice and certainly helpful. So yeah, I think he's a 3 for me this week. I mean, you have to like what he's been able to do, but you just hate the matchup, so you downgrade him.
Let me ask you this. How far do we have to go before you would say, hey, I'm starting Brandon Marshall? It's just tough, isn't it?
It is tough. It's brutal. And really, it hasn't been a great year for Marshall at all. I mean, last year was phenomenal. And I think people drafted him this year with, you know, maybe 80% of that in mind. Maybe the touchdowns would come back down to 8 or 9, which would totally be fine. But yeah, it's just been a tough year for Marshall. Again, he's in that range though. He's a 3 for me. I think he's right in that wide receiver 3 flex range.
Brandon Marshall or Kelvin Benjamin?
Ooh, another tough one. I think I'm taking Marshall, but that's a toss up.
How about Brandon Marshall or Mike Wallace against Philly?
I mean, that just depends on what kind of owner you are. If you like the bust, Mike Wallace has been really good this year, and he's actually been kind of consistent yardage wise over the
crazy
past couple months. Yeah. So yeah, which is something you don't hear from him very often. I might take Wallace there.
Okay, so but that's the range we're talking about with Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, so a little bit of a fall from grace, if you will, because he was right before, you know, before this, he would be in that range where we just talked about with the Alshons and
right.
And Crabtrees, and now he's certainly a tier behind
Here,
those
I've
players.
Got a good one. Rank these three for this week. You ready for this? Brandon Marshall, Allen Robinson, DeAndre Hopkins.
Thanks. I'm going to put DeAndre. Well, I'll put DeAndre first, even though that is – I mean, these are three tough matches. I'm going to put DeAndre first. I'm going to put Marshall second, and I will put Allen Robinson.
Mind you, get in a time capsule, go back to week one, and say, hey, guys, I have Brandon Marshall, DeAndre Hopkins, and Allen Robinson, and people will hand their fantasy title over to you immediately.
Exactly.
Actually, you know what?
Get in a better league.
Yes, throw Todd Gurley on that team. People are like, screw exactly. It. We're done. Here you go. You win. this is fancy. As a really quick sidebar, this is why I always say, unless there is proof or collusion, trade whoever you want and don't argue about it. There's no such thing as vetoes because you can make trades at week two and come around to week nine and say, I would have never made that trade at that time, where people at the time are saying, oh, you can't make this trade. It's not fair.
Right, exactly. I agree with that 100% overall. I mean, there's trades that you're going to say on paper, like your instant reaction is, oh, my God, how could so-and-so give up that much for so-and-so?
Right.
And then,
well, here, I'll give you a perfect example. In week four, I think it was. Yeah, it was week four because I was playing the quarterback carousel because I drafted Tom Brady. My backup was Tony Romo at the time. So when the season started, I didn't have Tony Romo, and I had no quarterback for the first 4 weeks. So I was playing the carousel, and I didn't want to lose week four because I was 2-1, so I wanted to try and get that third win. And I traded Melvin Gordon for Andy Dalton and Steve Smith.
Mm.
And I'm like, that's a good trade at the time. Today, and granted, Melvin Gordon got hurt, but if you would have tried to make that trade 2 weeks ago, everybody in the league would have been like, veto that!
Exactly. Yeah, it's tough, and you were kind of, I guess, in a way, selling high on the touchdown.
I thought I was.
Yeah, exactly. Thought you were. And then he just proceeded to keep doing what he was doing.
Yeah, keep churning along. So before we get out of here at the tight end position, Cameron Brate, I don't understand why people just won't get on board with him. At this point, I can't imagine he's out there in your league. But if he is, pick him up. He's a top 10 tight end this week. Actually, as a matter of fact, I have him at number 6, and I know I talked about this, but at least the Dallas matchup, I'm not so worried about the tight end position. The only other one, and because the tight end position is so thin, is there's two. It's Ladarius Green, which the problem is he's only on the field for less than 50% of the snaps, but when he's out there, 90% of the time he's running a passing route, so that's good. But the other one was Charles Clay because he finally had his best game of the season last week by far, and he gets Cleveland this week. But that just shows the state of the tight end position that we're talking about somebody who doesn't get 50% of the snaps and Charles Clay.
Yeah, exactly. And I still like Green as a tight end one because of the upside. Clay for me is a fringe tight end one. He's a, you know, basically you're hoping that he can stay involved. You like the matchup this week. So maybe you play Clay as a sneaky DFS play or something like that. Well, not that sneaky because he just had a good game, but as a DFS play. But yeah, he's still outside. Green, though, like you're saying, if he's in the game, he's basically running a passing route. He's not blocking, and they're going to look for him a ton. So I still think he's inside my top 10.
Yeah, I think so as well. All right, anything else before we get out of here? Parting thoughts of wisdom as you head into the fantasy playoffs? Go, hey, are you going to see Star Wars this weekend?
I'm not a Star Wars guy. We are not on the same page there.
No? Bob, no. You're not doing the show with me anymore. We're not friends.
The Star Wars divide. Yeah, I stand firm on that, too.
Are you like a Trek person or are you just not into it at all?
No, just not a sci-fi guy at all. And then I saw the first Star Wars when it re-released, and it just never sat with me. I never got into it.
I will admit, trying to watch the first three now is definitely just from what we have.
Spoiled.
At this level. Yeah. you should at least give the newest one a try. Did you?
I did not. I've been out of the game.
At least give that one a shot. You don't even have to sit all the way through it. Just give that one at least somewhat a shot and see.
I'll put it in my queue and I'll let you know.
Okay. So. In any case, hopefully you can go see the crying Will Smith movie this weekend instead. How about that?
Perfect.
Follow Bobby at Hello on Bobby. Catch all his work on rotoexperts.com. Award-winning work. Follow me at All In Kid. Listen to us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hopefully you win week 15 and keep this thing rolling along. And everything we talked about today, as Bobby kind of alluded to before, it can help you in DFS as well. So don't just go away. We'll be here for you all off season as well. Good luck. We'll talk to you next time.